"Captain, I'm getting a bit lost here," said Vimes. "I didn't grow up in a mine. Are these signs drawn because dwarfs think bad things are going to happen and want to ward them off, or think the mine deserves the bad things happening, or because they want the bad things to happen?" "Can be all three at once," said Carrot, wincing. "It can get really intense when a mine goes bad." "Oh, good grief! Oh, it can be awful, sir, believe me. But no one would ever draw the worst of the signs and want it to happen. Just the drawing wouldn't be enough, anyway. You have to want it to happen with your very last breath."
"And what one is that?"
"Oh, you don't want to know, sir."
"No, I did ask," said Vimes.
"No, you really don't want to know, sir, really."
Vimes was about to start yelling, but he stopped to think for a moment.
"Actually, no, I don't think I do," he agreed. "This is all about hysteria and mysticism. It's just weird folklore. Dwarfs believe it. I don't. So, how did you get the worms to form that sign?"
"Easy, sir. You just smear the wall with a piece of meat. That's a feast for worms. I wanted to shake Ardent up a bit, make him nervous like you taught me. I wanted to show him I knew about the signs. I am a dwarf, after all."
"Captain, this is probably not the time to break it to you, but—"
"Oh, I know people laugh, sir. A 6-foot dwarf. But being a human just means being born to human parents. That's easy. Being a dwarf doesn't mean being born to dwarfs, although that's a good start. It doesn't mean being short, either. It's about certain things you do, certain ceremonies. I've done them. So I'm a human and a dwarf. The deep-downers find it a bit hard to deal with that."
"It's mystic again, is it?" said Vimes wearily.
"Oh, yes, sir." Carrot coughed.
Vimes recognised that particular cough. It meant that bad news was on the captain's mind, and he was wondering how to shape it to fit the available not-going-totally-spare space in Vimes's head.
"Out with it, Captain."
"This little chap turned up," said Carrot, opening his hand. The gooseberry imp sat up.
"I ran all the way here, insert name here," it said proudly.
"We spotted it jogging along the gutter," said Carrot. "It wasn't hard to see, glowing pale green like that."
Vimes pulled the gooseberry box out of his pocket and put it on the floor. The imp climbed inside.
"Oh, that feels so good," it said. "Don't talk to me about rats and cats."
"They chased you, but you're a magical creature, aren't you?" said Vimes.
"They don't know that," said the imp. "Now, what was it? Oh, yes. You asked me about the night soil removal. Over the past 3 months, the extra honey wagon load has averaged 40 tons a night."
40 tons? That'd fill a big room.
Why didn't we know about it?"
"You did insert name here," said the imp.
"But they were leaving from every gate, you see, and probably no guard ever spotted more than one or two extra carts."
"Yeah, but they turned in reports every night. Why didn't we spot it?"
There was an awkward pause. The imp coughed.
"No one reads the reports, insert name here. They appear to be what we in the trade call write-only documents."
"Wasn't anyone supposed to be reading them?" Vimes demanded. There was another thundering pause.
"I rather think you were, dear," said Sybil, paying attention to her darning.
"But I'm in charge," Vimes protested.
"Yes, dear, that's the point, really."
"But I can't spend all my time shuffling bits of paper."
"Then get someone else to do it, dear," said Sybil.
"Could I do that?" said Vimes.
"Yes, sir," said Carrot. "You're in charge."
Vimes looked at the imp, which gave him a willing grin. "Can you go through all of my in-tray?"
"Floor," murmured Sybil.
"And tell me what's important?"
"Happy to, insert name here." "Only one question, insert name here. What is important?"
"Well, the fact that the Dunnikin divers are carting a whole lot more muck out of the city is pretty damn important, don't you think?"
"I wouldn't know, insert name here," said the imp. "I do not, in fact, think as such. But I surmise that, if I had drawn your attention to such a fact a month ago, you would have told me to stick my head up a duck's bottom."
"That's true," said Vimes, nodding. "I probably would. Captain Carrot?"
"Sir," said Carrot, sitting up straight.
"What's the situation on the street?"
"Well, troll gangs have been wandering around the city all day. Dwarfs, too. Now, a lot of the dwarfs are hanging around in Sator Square, sir, and a fair number of trolls are congregating in the Plaza of Broken Moons."
"How many are we talking about here?" said Vimes.
"About 1,000, all told. They've been drinking, of course."
"Just in the mood for a fight, then?"
"Yes, sir. Just drunk enough to be stupid, but too sober to fall over," said Carrot.
"Interesting observation, Captain," said Vimes thoughtfully.
"Yes, sir. The word is that they'll start at 9. Arrangements have been made, I gather."
"Then I think before it gets dark, there should be a load of coppers in the cham right between them, don't you?" said Vimes. "Get the word out to the watch-houses."
"I've done that, sir," said Carrot.
"And get some barricades sorted out."
"All arranged, sir."
"And call out the specials. I put the word out an hour ago, sir."
Vimes hesitated.
"'I've got to be there, Captain. "'We should have enough men, sir,' said Carrot.
"'But you don't have enough commander,' said Vimes. "'If Veterinari hauls me over the coals tomorrow "'because there was a major riot in the city centre, "'I don't want to tell him I was having a quiet evening at home.' "'He turned to his wife. "'Sorry, Sybil.'
"'Lady Sybil sighed.
"'I think I shall have to have a word with Havelock "'about the hours he makes you keep,' she said. "'It's not doing any good, you know.'
"'It's the job, dear. Sorry.
"'It's just as well I got the cook to make up a flask of soup, then.'
"'You did?'
"'Of course. I know you, Sam. "'And there's some sandwiches in a bag. "'Captain Carrot, you are to make sure he eats the apple and the banana. "'Dr. Lorne says he must eat at least 5 pieces of fruit or vegetable every day.'
Vimes stared woodenly at Carrot and Sally, trying to project the warning that the first officer to crack a smile or even mention this to anyone ever, ever, ever would have a very hard time of it indeed.
"'And incidentally, tomato ketchup is not a vegetable,' Sybil added, "'not even the dried stuff around the top of the bottle. "'Well, what are you all waiting around for?'
"'There is something I didn't want to mention in front of her ladyship,' said Carrot, as they hurried down to the yard. "'There. Hitherto is dead, sir.
"'Who's hitherto?'
"'Lance Constable Horace Hitherto, sir, got walloped on the back of the head last night, when we were at that meeting, when there was that, disturbance, got sent to the Free Hospital.'
"'Oh, gods,' said Vimes. "'It seems like a week ago. He'd only been with us a couple of months.
They said at the hospital his brain died, sir. I'm sure they did their best.
Did we do ours?' Vimes wondered.
"'But it was a bloody melee, and the cobblestone came out of nowhere. Could have hit me, could have hit Carrot. Hit a kid instead.
What will I tell his parents?'
"'Killed while doing his duty. "'But his duty shouldn't have been to stop one lot of idiot citizens "'murdering another lot of idiot citizens. "'It's all got out of hand. "'There aren't enough of us, and now there's a few less.
"'I'll go and see his mum and dad tomorrow,'
he began, "'and his sluggish memories shifted at last.
"'Didn't he have a brother in the watch?'
"'Yes, sir,' said Carrot. "'Lance Constable Hector hitherto, sir. "'They joined together. He's down at Chitling Street.'
"'Get hold of his sergeant and tell him Hector is not allowed on the street tonight, OK? "'I want him introduced to the joys of filing, in a cellar, if possible, and wearing a very thick helmet.'
"'I understand, sir,' said Carrot.
"'How's Angua?'
"'I think she'll be fine after having a lie down, sir. The mine really got to her.'
"'I'm really, really sorry about that,' Sally began.
"'Not your fault, Lance Constable Sally,' said Vimes. "'It was mine. I know about the vampire and werewolf thing, but I needed you both to be down there. It's just one of those decisions, OK?' "'I suggest you take the evening off. No, that's an order. You've done very well on your first day. Off you go. Get your head down, or whatever.' They watched her out of sight before continuing down the street.
"'She is very good, sir,' said Carrot. "'She picks things up fast.'
"'Yes, very fast. I can see she's going to be useful,' said Vimes thoughtfully.
"'Doesn't that strike you as odd, Captain? Up she pops just when we need her.
"'She has been in Ankh-Morpork for a couple of months, though,' said Carrot, "'and the League vouches for her.'
"'A couple of months is about the same time as Hamcrush has been here, too,' said Vimes. "'And if you wanted to find things out, we're not a bad outfit to join. We're official prodnoses.'
"'Sir, you don't think—' "'Oh, I'm sure she's a black ribboner, but I don't think a vampire comes all the way from Oberwald to play the cello. Still, as you say, she does a good job.'
Vimes stared at nothing for a moment, and then said thoughtfully, "'Doesn't one of our specials work for the Clacks Company?'
"'That'd be Andy Hancock, sir,' said Carrot.
"'Oh, God, you mean two swords? That's him, sir, very keen lad.'
"'Yes, I saw the dockets. Normally a training dummy lasts for months, Captain. You're not supposed to chop through 3 in half an hour.
He'll be down at the yard now, sir. Do you want a word with him?'
"'No. You have a word with him.'
Vimes lowered his voice.
So did Carrot. There was whispering.
Then Carrot said, "'Is that strictly legal, sir?'
"'I don't see how. Let's find out, shall we?
We haven't had this little conversation, Captain.'
"'Understood, sir.'
"'Ye gods! It was so much better when there were just 4 of us up against that bloody great dragon,' Vimes thought as they walked on. "'Of course, we nearly got burned alive a few times, but at least it wasn't complicated. It was a damn great dragon. You could see it coming. It didn't get political on you.'
It had started to rain a fine, invasive rain by the time they arrived at Pseudopolis Yard. Vimes had, with extreme reluctance, to hand it to Carrot. He certainly could organise. The place was bustling. Wagon loads of yellow and black barricades were being trundled out of the old lemonade factory. Watchmen were pouring in from every street.
"'I really pushed the boat out on this one, sir,' said Carrot. "'I thought it was important.'
"'Well done, Captain,' said Vimes, as they stood like islands in the flood. "'But I think there is a little matter of forward planning you may have overlooked.'
"'Really, sir, I think I've covered everything,' said Carrot, looking puzzled.
Vimes slapped him on the back. "'Probably not this one,' he said, and added, but only to himself.
because you, Captain, are not a bastard. Bewildered and aimless, the troll wanders through the world. Brick's head really gonged. He really didn't want to be doing this, but he'd fallen into bad company. He often fell into bad company, he reflected, although sometimes he had to look all day to find it, because Brick was a loser's loser. A troll without a clan or a gang, and who is considered thick even by other trolls, as to take any bad company he can find. In this case, he'd met Totally Slag and Hardcore and Big Marble, and it had been easier to fall in with them than decide not to, and they'd met up with more trolls, and now... Look at it like this, he thought as he trudged along, singing gang songs a bit behind the beat because he didn't know the words. All right, being in the middle of this mob of trolls ain't lying low, that is a fact. But Totally Slag had said the word was that Watch was also after the troll who'd been down that mine, right? And if you think about it, the best place to hide a troll, right, is a big bunch of trolls. Cause the Watch would be poking around in the cellars where the real mean trolls hung out. They wouldn't be looking here. And if they did, and were putting a finger on him, then all these brother trolls would help him out. He wasn't too certain about that last bit in his heart of hearts. His possibly negative IQ, complete absence of street cred, and, above all, his permanent inclination to snort, suck, swallow, or bite anything that promised to make his brain sparkle, meant that he had been turned down even by the 10th Egg Street Can't Think of a Name gang, rumoured to be so dense that one of their members was a lump of concrete on a piece of string. No, it would be hard to imagine any troll caring much what happened to Brick. But right now, they were brothers, and the only game in town. He nudged the skull-necklaced, graffiti-ornamented, lichen-covered, huge club-dragging troll marching stoically alongside him. "Respect, bro," he said.
"Why don't you go and gug yourself, Brick, you little piece of coprolite?" the troll muttered.
"Right off," said Brick. The main office was packed, but Vimes fought his way through by shoving and shouting until he reached the duty desk, which was under siege.
"It looks worse than it is, sir," shouted Cheery over the din. "Detritus and Constable Bluejohn are in the cham right now, along with all three Golem officers. We've started putting the line in place. Both the mobs are too busy getting themselves worked up."
"Good work, Sergeant." Cheery leaned down and lowered her voice. Vimes had to hang on to the tall desk to stop himself being carried away by the throng.
"Fred Corlon's signing up the specials in the old lemonade factory, sir, and Mr. D-Word of the Times is looking for you."
"Sorry, Sergeant, didn't catch that last bit," said Vimes loudly. "The lemonade factory, right? OK."
He turned round and almost tripped over Mr. A.E. Pessimal, who was holding a neat clipboard.
"Ah, your Grace, there are just a few small matters I'd like to discuss with you," said the gleaming little man.
Vimes's mouth dropped open.
"And you think this is a good time, do you?" he managed, as he was jostled by an officer carrying a bundle of swords.
"Well, yes. I've turned up a number of little financial and procedural problems," said A.E. Pessimal calmly, "and I think it's vitally important that I understand exactly what..."
Vimes, grinning horribly, grabbed him by the shoulder.
"Yes. Right, absolutely," he shouted. "My dear Mr. Pessimal, what have I been thinking of? You should understand. Come with me, please."
He half-dragged the bewildered man out through the back door, lifted him out of the way of a trundling cart as he negotiated the crowded yard, and hustled him up into the old factory yard, where the specials were being kitted up. Technically, they were the citizens' militia, but, as Fred Colon had remarked, it was better to have them in here pissing themselves than outside pissing on you. The special constables were men, mostly, who could be a copper in times of dire need, but were generally disqualified from formal watch membership by reason of shape, profession, age, or sometimes brain. A lot of the professionals didn't like them, but Vimes had lately taken the view that when push came to shove, it was better to have your fellow citizens shoving alongside you, and that being the case, you might as well teach them how to hold a sword right, lest the arm they clumsily removed was yours. Vimes dragged A.E. Pessimal through the press of bodies until he found Fred Colon, who was handing out one-size-doesn't-fit-anybody helmets.
"New man for you, Fred," he said loudly. "Mr. A.E. Pessimal. A.E. if he ever makes friends. He's the government inspector. Kit him out, full fig, and don't forget the riot shield. A.E. here wants to understand coppering, so he's kindly volunteered to be an acting constable on the barricades with us."
Over the top of A.E. Pessimal's head, he gave Fred a big wink.
Oh, right, said Fred,
and his face, in the flickering light of the flares, acquired the innocent smile of one about to make someone's life a little pot of bubbling dread. He leaned over the trestle table.
"Know how to use a sword, acting constable Pessimal," he said, and dropped a helmet on the man's head where it spun.
Well, I didn't exactly, the inspector began, as a very elderly sword was shoved across the planks, followed by a heavy truncheon.
"A shield, then? Any good with a shield?"
said Fred, pushing a large such item after the sword.
"Actually, I didn't mean..." said A.E. Pessimal, trying to hold both the sword and the truncheon, and dropping both, and then the sword and the truncheon and the shield, and dropping all three.
"Any good at running 100 yards in 10 seconds? In this?" Fred went on. A ragged chainmail coat dropped slowly off the table like a parcel of snakes and landed on A.E. Pessimal's bright little shoes.
I don't think... "Standing still and going to the toilet really, really quickly?" said Fred.
"Oh, well, you'll learn soon enough." Vimes turned the man around, picked up 35 pounds of rust-eaten chain mail, and dropped it into his arms, causing A.E. Pessimal to bend double.
"I'll introduce you to some of the citizens who'll be fighting alongside you tonight, shall I?" he said, as the little man hobbled after him. "This is Willikins, my butler. No sharpened pennies in your cap tonight, Willikins?"
"No, sir,"
said Willikins, staring at the struggling A.E. Pessimal.
"Glad to hear it. This is Acting Constable Pessimal, Willikins," Vimes winked.
"Honoured to meet you, Acting Constable, sir," said Willikins gravely. "Now that sir is with us, I'm sure the miscreants will just melt away. Has sir by any chance gone sir on one with a troll before? No, a little advice, sir. The important thing is to get in front of them and dodge the first blow. They always leave themselves open, and sir may then step smartly forward and select sir's target of choice."
"What if I'm not in front of one when it tries to hit me?" A.E. Pessimal said, hypnotised by the description and dropping the sword again. "What if it is, in fact, behind me?"
"Ah, well, I'm afraid in that case sir has to go back and start all over again, sir."
"And how do I do that?"
"Being born is traditionally the first step, sir," said Willikins, shaking his head.
Vimes gave him a nod and moved the trembling Pessimal on through the chattering crowd while the fine rain fell and the mists rose and the torches flickered.
"Ah, good evening, sir," said a cheerful voice, and there, yes, was Special Constable Hancock, an amiable bearded man with an amiable smile and more cutlery about his person than was good for Vimes's mental health.
That was the trouble with some of the specials. They really got into it. They bought their own gear, and it was always better than watch issue. Some of them clanged even more than dwarfs, with patent handcuffs and complicated nightsticks and comfy padded helmets and pencils that wrote underwater, and, in the case of Special Constable Hancock, 2 curved Agatian swords strapped across his back. Those who dared to venture into the training yard when he was using them said they looked rather impressive. Vimes had heard that an Agatian ninja could give a fly a shave and a haircut in mid-flight, but this didn't make him feel any better.
"Oh, hello, Andy," he said. "I think—"
"Captain Carrots had a word with me," said Special Constable Hancock, giving a huge wink. "I'll see to it."
"Oh, good," said Vimes, horribly aware that he'd put himself in a tricky position vis-à-vis, suggesting that maybe one sword might be enough.
"You'll be up against the trolls, at least to start with," he said. "Just remember that there's our people around you, will you? Remember Special Constable Piggle, eh?"
"But in fairness, it was a clean cut, sir," said Hancock. "Igor said he'd never done such an easy reattachment."
"Nevertheless, it's truncheons only tonight, Andy, unless I give any other order, okay?"
"Understood, Commander Vimes. I've just got a new truncheon, as a matter of fact."
Some 6 cents made Vimes say, "Oh, really? May I see?"
"Right here, sir."
Hancock pulled out what looked to Vimes like 2 truncheons, joined together with a length of chain.
"They're agate and numbnuts, sir. No sharp edges at all."
Vimes gave them an experimental swing and hit his own elbow. He handed them back quickly.
"Rather you than me, lad. Still, I suppose they'll make a troll stop and think."
Mr. Pessimal was staring in horror, not least because Wayward Wood had just missed him.
"Oh, this is Mr. Pessimal, Andy," said Vimes. "He's finding out how we do things. Mr. Hancock is one of our keenest special constables, Mr. Pessimal."
"Nice to meet you, Mr. Pessimal," said Hancock. "If you need any catalogues, I'm your man."
Vimes moved on quickly, just in case the man drew those swords again, and ran up against a slightly more reassuring figure.
"And here we have Mr. Boggis," he said. "Good to see you. Mr. Boggis is president of the Guild of Thieves, Mr. Pessimal."
Mr. Boggis saluted proudly. He had accepted a chainmail jacket from Fred, but no power in the world would have parted him from his brown bowler hat. Any power nevertheless inclined to try would in any case have to contend with the narrow-eyed, stony-jawed men on either side of him, who had eschewed any weapons or armour. One of them was cleaning his fingernails with a cut-throat razor. In a strange but very definite way, they looked much more dangerous than Special Constable Hancock.
And also Vinny No Ears Ludd and Harry can't remember his nickname Jones, I see, Vimes went on. You've brought your bodyguards, Mr. Boggess?
Vinny and Harry like to get out in the fresh air, Mr. Vimes, said Mr. Boggess. And you've got your own bodyguard, then? He beamed down on A.E. Pessimal and then grinned at Vimes. You have to watch them little bantam fighters, Mr. Vimes. They can have the nose off of your face quicker and wink. I can tell a killing cove when I see one, eh? Best of luck to you, Mr. Pessimal.
Vimes bustled the astonished man away before Mr. Boggess was killed on the spot by the god of overacting, and almost walked into the one special who could be guaranteed not to talk too much. And here, Mr. Pessimal, here we have the university librarian, he said. Good man in a melee, eh?
But that's not a man. That's an orangutan. Pongo Pongo, native of Bang Bang Duck and nearby islands.
Wook, said the librarian, patting A.E. Pessimal on the head and handing him a banana skin.
Well done, A.E., said Vimes. Not many people get that right.
And so Vimes dragged the inspector back through the crowd of damp, armoured men, introducing him right and left. Then he pushed him into a corner and, to faint, stunned protestations, dragged the mail shirt over his head.
"You stick close behind me, Mr. Pessimal," he said, as the man tried to move. "It could get a bit sticky later on. The trolls are up in the plaza and the dwarves are down in the square, and both of them are drinking enough courage to have a good scrap. That's why we'll be lining up in the cham right between them, the thin brown streak. Ha ha! The dwarfs favour battle-axes, the trolls go in for clubs. Our weapon of first resort will be our truncheons, and our weapon of last resort is our feet. That is to say, we'll run like hell."
But you have swords, A.E. Pessimal managed.
We have swords, acting constable, yes, that is a fact, but poking holes in citizens is watch brutality, and we don't want any of that now, do we? Let's get going. I wouldn't like you to miss anything.
He harried the man again, out into the street, and the stream of watchmen heading to the cham. Apart from them, the street was empty. Ankh-Morpork people had an instinct for staying indoors when there were too many battle axes and spiky clubs out there. The cham was simply a very, very wide road, once intended for ceremonial parades, a hangover from the days when the city had much to be ceremonious about. Drizzle filled it now and did not do much more than wet the pavements and reflect the light of the flares along the barricades.
Barricades. Well, that's what they were called on the watch inventory. Ha! Lengths of wood painted in black and yellow stripes and mounted on trestles were not barricades, not to anyone who'd been behind a real one, which was built of rubbish and furniture and barrels and fear and bowel-knotting defiance. No, these simple things were the physical symbol of an idea. It was a line in the sand. It said, thus far and no further. It said, this is where the law is. Step over this line and you've gone beyond the law. Step over this line with your massive axes and huge morning stars and heavy, heavy spiky clubs, and we happy few, who stand here with our wooden truncheons, well, you just better not step over the line, okay?
The yellow and black edges of the law had been set about 12 feet apart, giving plenty of room for two lines of watchmen standing back to back, facing outwards. Vimes dragged Mr. Pessimal into the centre of the cham between the lines and let him go.
"Any questions?" he said, as latecomers jostled past them to take up their positions.
The little man stared towards the distant plaza, where the trolls had lit a big fire, and then turned to look the other way, at the square, where the dwarfs had lit several fires. There was the sound of singing.
"Oh, yes, we'll get the singing first. At this point, it's all about getting the blood pounding, you see," Vimes added helpfully. "Songs about heroes, great victories, killing your enemies and drinking out of their warm skulls, that sort of thing."
"And then they'll attack us?" said A.E. Pessimal.
"Well, not as such," Vimes conceded. "They'll try to attack the other bunch, and we're in the way."
"They won't go around us, perhaps," said A.E. Pessimal, hopefully.
"I doubt it. They won't be in the mood for narrow alleys. They'll be thinking in straight lines. Charge and yell, they'll say. That's the way."
"Ah, there's the university over there," said A.E. Pessimal, as if noticing the huge bulk of unseen university for the very first time. "Surely the wizards could—"
"Magic their weapons out of their hands, possibly leaving them with all their fingers? Magic them into the cells? Turn them all into ferrets? And what then, Mr. Pessimal?"
Vimes lit a cigar, cupping the match in his hand so that the flame made his face glow briefly.
"Shall we follow where magic leads us? Wave a wand, eh, to find out who's guilty and what of? Magic men good? The innocent would have nothing to fear, do you think?"
"I wouldn't bet tuppence, Mr. Pessimal. Magic's a little bit alive, a little bit tricky. Just when you think you've got it by the throat, it bites you in the arse. No magic in my watch, Mr. Pessimal. We use good old-fashioned policing." "'But there are lots of them, Commander.' "'About 1,000 altogether, I reckon,' said Vimes placidly. "'Plus, who knows how many more out there will wail in if we let it get out of hand. "'But this is just the hotheads and the gangs right now. "'But can't you just leave them to it?' "'No, Mr. Pessimal, because that'd be what we in the Watch call "'complete and utter bloody chaos, and it will not stop, "'and it will get bigger very quickly. "'We have to finish it right now, so—'
"'There was a thud from the direction of the plaza. "'It was loud enough to echo around the buildings.'
"'What was that?'
A.E. Pessimal said, looking around hurriedly.
"'Oh, that was to be expected,' said Vimes.
Pessimal relaxed very slightly.
"'It was?'
"'Yes, it's the Gahanka, the troll war beat,' said Vimes. "'They say that within 10 minutes of hearing it, you're dead.' Behind Pessimal, Detritus grinned, the torchlight turning his diamond teeth into rubies.
"'Is that true?'
"'I shouldn't think so,' said Vimes. "'And now, please excuse me for a while, Acting Constable Pessimal. "'I'll leave you in the good hands of Sergeant Detritus while I talk to my men. "'Stiffen their sinews, that sort of thing.' He moved away quickly. He told himself he shouldn't be doing this to the inspector, who was just a clerk in the wrong place and probably wasn't a bad man. The trouble was, the trolls up in the plaza probably weren't bad trolls, and the dwarfs down in the square probably weren't bad dwarfs either. People who probably weren't bad could kill you. The troll beat boomed around the city as Vimes reached Fred Colon.
"'I see they've given us the old Gahanka, then, Mr. Vimes,' said the sergeant with nervous cheerfulness.
"'Yep, they'll be charging pretty soon, I expect,' Vimes screwed up his eyes, trying to see figures around the distant glow. Trolls didn't charge fast, but when they charged it was like a wall getting nearer. Extending a hand and shouting halt in a firm, authoritative voice probably would not be sufficient.
"'You thinking about another barricade, Mr. Vimes?' said Fred.
"'Hm?' said Vimes, dismissing the mental picture of himself laminated to the street.
"'Barricade, sir,' Colon prompted. "'More than 30 years ago?'
Vimes gave a curt nod. Oh, yes, he remembered the glorious revolution. It hadn't really been a revolution, and had been glorious only if you thought an early grave was glorious. Men had died there, too, because of other men who, bar one or two, probably weren't bad.
Yes, he said, and it seems like only yesterday.
Every day, he thought, seems like only yesterday.
Remember old Sergeant Keel? He pulled off a few tricks that night.
Sergeant Colon's voice, like A.E. Pessimal's, had a curiously hopeful tone. Vimes nodded.
"'I suppose you wouldn't have one or two up your sleeve too, sir,' Fred went on, the hope now naked and unashamed.
"'You know me, Fred. Always willing to learn,' said Vimes vaguely. He strolled on, nodding to watchmen he knew, slapping others on the back, and trying not to get trapped in anyone's gaze. Every face was in some way a reflection of the face of Fred Colon. He could practically see their thoughts, while the thud of 500 clubs, hitting the stone in unison, banged on the eardrums like a hammer. "'You have got it sorted, haven't you, Mr. Vimes? "'We're not really going to be stuck here like the meat in a sandwich, right? "'It's a trick, yes. "'It is a trick, isn't it? "'Sir?' "'I hope it is,' Vimes thought. "'But one way or another, the watch has to be here. "'That's the bloody truth of it.' "'Something had changed in the rhythm of the Gahanka. "'You had to be listening, but some of the clubs were hitting the ground "'just ahead or just after the beat. "'Ah!' "'He reached Cheery and Carrot, who were staring at the distant fires of the dwarfs.
"'We think we might be getting a result, sir,' said Carrot.
"'I damn well hope so. What's happening with the dwarfs?'
"'Not so much singing, sir,' Cheery reported.
"'Glad to hear it.
"'We could handle them, though, couldn't we, sir?' said Carrot. "'With the Golem officers on our side, too, if it came to it?'
"'Of course we couldn't,' Vimes's mind supplied. "'Not if they mean it. What we could do is die valiantly. I've seen men die valiantly. There's no future in it.'
"'I don't want it to come to it, Captain,' Vimes stopped.
A deeper shadow had moved amongst the shadows. "'What's the password?' he said quickly. The shadowy figure, who was cloaked and hooded, hesitated.
"'Password? Excuse me, I've got it written down somewhere,' it began.
"'Okay, Igor, come on in,' said Carrot.
"'How did you know it was me, sir?'
said Igor, ducking under the barricade.
"'You're after shave,' said Vimes, winking at the captain. "'How did it go?'
"'Just as you said, sir.' "'said Igor, pushing his hood back. "'Incidentally, sir, I have scrubbed the slab well, "'and my cousin Igor is standing by to lend a hand, "'in case of any little accident, sir.'
"'Thank you for thinking of that, Igor,' said Vimes, "'as if Igor's ever thought of anything else. "'I hope it won't be needed.'
"'He looked up and down the tram. "'The rain was falling harder now. "'Just for once the copper's friend had turned up when he really needed it. "'Rain tended to dampen martial enthusiasm.
"'Anyone seen Nobby?' he said.
A voice from the shadows said,
"'Here, Mr. Vimes. Been here 5 minutes. Why didn't you sing out, then?' "'Couldn't remember the password, sir. Thought I'd wait till I heard Igor say it.'
"Oh, come on in. Did it work?" "Better than you would imagine, sir," said Nobby, rain pouring down his cloak. Vimes stood back. "Okay, lads, then this is it. Carrot and Cheery, you head for the dwarfs. Me and Detritus will take the trolls. You know the drill. Lines to advance slowly and no edged weapons. I repeat, no edged weapons. Let's do this like coppers, okay? On the signal."
He hurried back up the line of barricades as fast as the stir ran along the lines of watchmen. Detritus was waiting stoically. He grunted when Vimes arrived.
"Clubs have just about stopped, sir," he reported.
"I heard, Sergeant."
Vimes took off his oiled leather cloak and hung it on the barricade. He needed his arms free. "By the way, how did it go in Turnagain Lane?" he said, stretching his arms.
"Oh, wonderful, sir," said Detritus happily. 6 alchemists and £50 of fresh slide. In and out, quick and sweet, all banged up in a tenty."
"Didn't know what hit, eh?" said Vimes. Detritus looked mildly offended at this.
"Oh, no, sir," he said. "I made sure they knew I hit 'em."
And then Vimes spotted Mr. Pessimore, still where he had left him, his face a pale disk in shadows. Well, enough of that game. Maybe the little tit would have learned something standing here in the rain, waiting to be caught between a couple of screaming mobs. Maybe he'd had time to wonder what it was like to spend your life going through moments like that. A bit harder than pushing paper, eh?
"If I was you, I'd just wait here, Mr. Pessimore," he said as kindly as he could manage. "This might be a bit rough in parts."
No, Commander," said A.E. Pessimore, looking up.
"What?"
"I have been paying attention to what's been said, and intend to face the foe, Commander," said A.E. Pessimore.
"Now, see here, Mr. Pessimore—"
"See here, A.E.," said Vimes, putting his hand on the little man's shoulder. He stopped. A.E. Pessimore was trembling so much that his chain mail was faintly jingling. Vimes persevered. "Look, go on home, eh? This isn't where you belong." He patted the shoulder a few times, totally nonplussed.
"Commander Vimes," snapped the inspector.
Yes? A.E. Pessimore turned up to Vimes a face wetter than the drizzle rightly accounted for. "I am an acting constable, am I not?"
"Well, yes, I know I said that, but I did not expect you to take it seriously.
I am a serious man, Commander Vimes, and there is no place I would rather be now than here,"
Acting Constable Pessimore said, his teeth chattering,
"and no time I'd rather be here than now. Let's do this, shall we?"
Vimes looked at Detritus, who shrugged his massive shoulders. Something was happening here, in the mind of a little man whose back he could probably break with one hand.
"Oh, well, if you say so," he said hopelessly. "You heard the inspector, Sergeant Detritus. Let's do this, shall we?"
The troll nodded and turned to face the distant troll encampment. He cupped his hands and bellowed a string of trollish which bounced off the buildings.
"Something we could all understand, perhaps," said Vimes as the echoes died away.
A.E. Pessimore stepped forward, taking a deep breath.
"Come on, if you think you're hard enough,"
he screamed wildly. Vimes coughed.
"Thank you, Mr. Pessimore," he said weakly. "I imagine that should do it."